Section 3. The War in the West.
If you were there. You live in the city of Vicksburg, set on high bluffs above the Mississippi River. Vicksburg is vital to the control of the river, and Confederate defenses are strong. But the Union general is determined to take the town. For weeks you have been surrounded and besieged. Cannon shells burst overhead day and night. Some have fallen on nearby homes. Supplies of food are running low. How would you survive this siege?
Building background. The Civil War was fought on many fronts, all across the continent and even at sea. In the East, fighting was at first concentrated in Virginia. In the West, cities and forts along the Mississippi River were the main target of Union forces. Northern control of the river would cut off the western states of the Confederacy. Union strategy in the West. While Lincoln fumed over the cautious, hesitant General McClellan, he had no such problems with Ulysses S. Grant. Bold and restless, Grant grew impatient when he was asked to lead defensive maneuvers. He wanted to be on the attack. As a commander of forces in the Union's Western Campaign, he would get his wish. The Western Campaign focused on taking control of the Mississippi River. This strategy would cut off the eastern part of the Confederacy from sources of food production in Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas. From bases on the Mississippi, the Union Army could attack southern communication and transportation networks. In February 1862, Grant led an assault force into Tennessee. With help from Navy gunboats, Grant's Army of the Tennessee took two outposts on key rivers in the West. On February 6th, he captured Fort Henry on the Tennessee River. Several days later, he took Fort Donelson on the Cumberland River. Fort Donelson's commander asked for the terms of surrender. Grant replied, "No terms except an unconditional and immediate surrender can be accepted." The fort surrendered. The North gave a new name to Grant's initials, Unconditional Surrender Grant. Advancing south in Tennessee, General Grant paused near Shiloh Church to await the arrival of the Army of Ohio. Grant knew that the large rebel army of General A.S. Johnston was nearby in Corinth, Mississippi, but he did not expect an attack. Instead of setting up defenses, he worked on drilling his new recruits. In the early morning of April 6, 1862, the rebels sprang on Grant's sleepy camp. This began the Battle of Shiloh, in which the Union Army gained greater control of the Mississippi River Valley. During the bloody two-day battle, each side gained and lost ground. Johnston was killed on the first day. The arrival of the Ohio force helped Grant regain territory and push the enemy back into Mississippi. The armies finally gave out, each with about 10,000 casualties. Both sides claimed victory, but in fact, the victor was Grant. The Fall of New Orleans. As Grant battled his way down the Mississippi, the Union Navy prepared to blast its way upriver to meet him. The first obstacle was the port of New Orleans, the largest city in the Confederacy and the gateway to the Mississippi River. With 18 ships and 700 men, Admiral David Farragut approached the two forts that guarded the entrance to New Orleans from the Gulf of Mexico. Unable to destroy the forts, Farragut decided to race past them. The risky operation would take place at night. Farragut had his wooden ships wrapped in heavy chains to protect them like ironclads. Sailors slapped Mississippi mud on the ships' hulls to make them hard to see. Trees were tied to the masts to make the ships look like the forested shore. Before dawn, on April 24, 1862, the warships made their daring dash. The Confederates fired at Farragut's ships from the shore and from gunboats. They launched burning rafts, one of which scorched Farragut's own ship. But his fleet slipped by the twin forts and made it to New Orleans. The city fell on April 29th. Farragut sailed up the Mississippi River, taking Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Natchez, Mississippi. He then approached the city of Vicksburg, Mississippi. The Siege of Vicksburg. Vicksburg's geography made invasion all but impossible. Perched on 200-foot-high cliffs above the Mississippi River, the city could rain down firepower on enemy ships or on soldiers trying to scale the cliffs. Deep gorges surrounded the city, turning back land assaults. Nevertheless, Farragut ordered Vicksburg to surrender. Mississippians don't know and refuse to learn how to surrender. If Commodore Farragut can teach them, let him come and try. Colonel James L. Autry, military commander of Vicksburg. Farragut's guns had trouble reaching the city above. It was up to General Grant. His solution was to starve the city into surrender. General Grant's troops began the siege of Vicksburg in mid-May 1863, cutting off the city and shelling it repeatedly. As food ran out, residents and soldiers survived by eating horses, dogs, and rats. "We are utterly cut off from the world, surrounded by a circle of fire," wrote one woman. "People do nothing but eat what they can get, sleep when they can, and dodge the shells." The Confederate soldiers were also sick and hungry. In late June, a group of soldiers sent their commander a warning. "The army is now ripe for mutiny or rebellion unless it can be fed. If you can't feed us, you'd better surrender us," horrible as the idea is. Confederate soldiers at Vicksburg to General John C. Pemberton, 1863. On July 4th, Pemberton surrendered. Grant immediately sent food to the soldiers and civilians. He later claimed that the fate of the Confederacy was sealed when Vicksburg fell. Struggle for the Far West. Early on in the war, the Union halted several attempts by Confederate armies to control lands west of the Mississippi. In August 1861, a Union detachment from Colorado turned back a Confederate force at Glorieta Pass. Union volunteers also defeated rebel forces at Arizona's Pechaco Pass. Confederate attempts to take the border state of Missouri also collapsed. Failing to seize the federal arsenal at St. Louis in mid-1861, the rebels fell back to Pea Ridge in northwest Arkansas. There, in March 1862, they attacked again, aided by some 800 Cherokee. The Indians hoped the Confederates would give them greater freedom. In addition, slavery was legal in Indian Territory, and some Native Americans who were slaveholders supported the Confederacy. Despite being outnumbered, Union forces won the Battle of Pea Ridge. The Union defense of Missouri held. Pro-Confederate forces remained active in the region throughout the war. They attacked Union forts and raided towns in Missouri and Kansas, forcing Union commanders to keep valuable troops stationed in the area. Summary and preview. The North and the South continued their struggle with battles in the West. A number of key battles took place in the Western theater, and several important Union leaders emerged from these battles. One, Ulysses S. Grant, would soon become even more important to the Union Army. In the next section, you will learn about the lives of civilians, enslaved Africans, and soldiers during the war. But first, review the main ideas of this section. Then take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the section assessment questions.